I wanted to share something with you guys, if I can. This is just, the Lord gave me a little bit of a scripture, and people are going through rough times, right? You guys realize that. If it's not you right now, then you know somebody, right? It's going through a tough time. Let's just be honest, right? They're struggling. People are struggling right now. I've been in ministry full-time for many, many years, a couple decades, I think, now. Oh, that was painful. Anyway, a couple of decades, and I can tell you that it seems like things are getting a little darker and a little harder now than I've seen it in quite some time. And this scripture picture, you guys know I love the Word of God, and I love to put, you know, pictures with the Word of God, and this scripture picture came to my mind, and so I made it for this morning. And I hope it speaks to somebody, because Psalm 68:6, this is in the New Living Translation, it says this. It says that God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free, and he gives them joy. But then it goes on to say, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So listen, the neat thing about Jesus Christ is, and there's two different things. One, if you're maybe seeking and you're struggling, whether you're a single, a couple, a family, whatever, and maybe God's drawing you home. There's actually, the ESV says God places the lonely in a home. And you're welcome here at Home Fellowship Church, or I would encourage you to get involved in another good Bible teaching church, because things are getting darker. People aren't going to want to hear the Word anymore. They're not going to want to listen to the Word. They're not going to want to live the Word. It's just going to become like something they shove aside, the darker it gets. But the more you draw near to the Lord, the more you fill yourself with God's Word, renew your mind with the Word of God, you will be transformed into the image of Christ. You will be given a power and a joy and a freedom that the world can't match. That no matter what you go through, you have a hope. And that word in Greek is elpis, and that means assurance. You will have an assurance in Christ Jesus. So you can be, as you get this Word of God from these pages, anointed by the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your mind. The Bible says you will become like a tree planted by streams of water, roots going down deep, and you will yield the fruit of the Holy Spirit in due season, regardless of what comes. So the leaves are, there could be a drought, there could be a famine, there could be whatever, a flood, but you're going to bear fruit. God's Word says fruit that will last forever. 30, 60, 100 times. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So remember, so maybe God's calling you here today, and he's put you in this home. Maybe this is your first time here, and God's saying, I'm opening this door. Now, in God's family, or even in this house, can I tell you something? We're all a work in progress. I've been in ministry 20 years, and I've known Pastor Gary for many, many years, and he's a work in progress. No. And I'm a work in progress, okay? So God's doing a continuing, a set salvation comes, but there's a sanctification that goes on day by day as God renews my mind daily with the Word of God and washes me clean. And God wants to do that to you. But I love this picture because if you notice, I don't know if you do, in this picture I have for you, the scripture picture, all the darkness around, but as our Heavenly Father, as he places us in a home, or maybe it's Loving Hands Ministry, or maybe it's here at Home Fellowship Church, or maybe it's somewhere else, whatever. As he places you in that home, man, God surrounds you with prayer. I watched somebody coming in today that we've been praying for, multiple people that have been being prayed for. Somebody came in and said, I said, oh, this is, and I mentioned the gentleman's name, and she goes, oh, he's been on our prayer list. Absolutely. And so God is going to surround you with people who are praying for you, and he's given us each different gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to use and grow together in a body. And so he places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Now, here's the deal. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, and there's a difference, okay? There is a difference between just going to church, right? And maybe some of you have done that. Can I tell you, I went to church most of my life, until I was about 30, so a couple years ago. And I went to church most of my life. I wasn't saved. I was a churchgoer. There's an eternal difference. There's a whole perspective when you give your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, right? And you become born again. You give it all up to Him. He starts to change your perspective, your thinking, the direction of your life. Everything starts to change. Everything starts to change. Not because of me and I'm trying to work it out, because of Christ in me. Right? Changing me from the inside out. Does that make sense, folks? Okay, the Bible says this, and this is important, because you're going to hear a lot of testimonies in a minute. Okay? You're going to hear some testimonies. And apart from Christ, I am the biggest jerk, self-centered knucklehead on the planet. Well, you're a pastor. Well, that's without Christ. Because of Christ, you guys know me as a loving, kind, humble person, hopefully. All but a little funny and quirky. But the Bible says this. There was a religious guy, you guys know, that went to Nicodemus, named Nicodemus, and he went to Jesus. And he's like, man, we know you're from God, because nobody could do these miracles if God wasn't with them. And Jesus said something. He's like, you know, he said something really weird that Nicodemus doesn't understand. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that unless someone is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And unless God does a supernatural change right here in that heart, in my heart, in your heart and mind, there's not going to be that change. You could come to youth group, to church, you could come to the Holy Smoke Barbecue and serve your heart out or eat your heart out. If you don't have Jesus here, there's going to be no transformation. You're not going to clean yourself up enough to do it, to become a good person. You have to ask Jesus to come inside your heart and do it for you. Does that make sense? The Bible says you must be born again, or born anew, or born from above. In other words, and Nicodemus is like, what? I'm an old man. I'm not going to be born up in my mother's womb. And he's like, no, you don't understand. You must be born a spiritual rebirth. It's like a reconnection. And he said something in John 3:7 that he said, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. It doesn't say that, hey, it would be a good idea if you thought about it. Jesus didn't say that to him. He's like, if you want to be saved, give it some thought and possibly be born again. He said, you must be born again. I love what Charles Spurgeon, he's an old-timey preacher. Some of you may know him, some of you may not, but I really like him. And he said this, and so he said, there are flames of hell. That's real. Would you escape them? You must be born again. There are heaven's glories sparkling in their own light. Would you enjoy them? You must be born again. There is peace and joy of a believer. Just like we read, he places the lonely in families, freedom and joy. But he says, would you have it? You must be born again. There is one condition that never changes. God never alters it and never will. He said, you must. Now, which shall it be? Shall your will stand or God's will? Oh, let God's must ride over you and bow yourself down and say, Lord, I must, then I will. And I must tonight. Give me Christ or else I die. I will never let you go. You must be born again. And then God says this in 1 Peter, which I love, 1:23. Once you receive Jesus Christ into your Lord and Savior, says you've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. So here's a weird thing that I'm giving the gospel in the beginning, but that's exactly what I'm doing. And you're going to hear testimonies. And the testimonies that you're going to hear will only come and can only really come. And you'll see that in the proof of a life lived for the future. You'll see it. If it's real, God will bring it about. If it's just words, it's going to fall apart. But if it's real, then it starts with this. It starts with us being saved. It says that God, the gospel, God created us to be with him. In the garden, the beginning, that's he walked with us, right? He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, right? He wants a relationship with us. Here's the bad news. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Man, he is loving, but he is also holy. And people forget that these days. He's holy, and that sin, he can't allow it in his heaven. And sins can't be removed by good works. You can't do enough good things to be with the holy God. He has to do it for you. He has to impute his righteousness in you. And paying the price for our sin, Jesus died on that cross, and he rose again. Okay, and that's the seal of approval, the stamp of the receipt, so to speak, to Telestoy. It is finished. And then it says, everyone or anyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And folks, that life with Jesus starts right now when you receive Jesus Christ, you ask him into your heart, and then lasts forever. And so we're going to do something really weird and do this at the beginning. I'd just like you to all close your eyes and bow your heads. And listen, if you're here today and you're just a churchgoer or you grew up religious, I get it. But God's saying, I want to give you more. I want to give you my Holy Spirit. I want to start a new life, a new thinking, a new attitude in your heart and life. I want you to be born again. Would you ask the Lord right now in your own words, Lord, can that be me? Just tell him, I want to be born again. Just say it in your heart. Cry out to him in your heart. Just say that, Lord, I want to be born again. And I might not understand anything, Lord, but just tell him. Just say, I know I'm a sinner, Lord. I know I am, Lord. And just tell him, I know I might not know everything, but I know you died for me. And I know you rose again from the dead, Lord. And I want to know you personally. I want to live for you. Will you just tell him that? And would you ask him to come into your heart, to come into your life, and to start leading you down a new path that honors him with the rest of your life, with your words and your actions? Will you ask him? Would you just cry out to him, say, Lord, I want to be born again. Help me to do that, Lord. Come into my heart and life right now. I receive you, Lord, the gift that you have. I receive it in Jesus' name, Lord God. And if you've done that, if you're doing that right now, at the end of the service, I want you to come talk to me or Pastor Gary, and we would like to give you a Bible and set you up with some discipleship and Bible studies and stuff like that, and just hug you and say, welcome to the family of God, because he places the lonely in families, and he's calling out to you now, and he's saying, come, join my family. And so, Lord, we pray for anyone here, Lord, that you would work on their hearts and minds today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Sir, would you come on up here? And Pastor Gary, where's... Oh, microphone right here. Thank you, brother. I'm going to give you the mic. You're in charge. Just let me know when you're done, and I'll have a little communion time afterwards.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if we have enough space here. Let me see. Man, would you mind trying to walk up here and kind of come behind me here? Start all the way over there and just come on down. Get up here. Just try to move this table up a little bit, just a little bit here. All right, perfect. Perfect. All right, awesome. Hey, Anthony, how you doing, buddy? good morning. My name is Denaris Mason. I'm a staff member here at Loving Hands Ministries. I'm a graduate. I've been here for about 3 years now, a little bit over 3 years. And God's really blessed, you know, my life and these men's lives. He's blessing our lives. It's so such a blessing to see my friend up there. You know, he was, you know, older in the ministry when I came. He had about like 4 or 5 months left, and I was kind of worldly, really worldly. But you know, he loved on me, and the other guys who were above me really encouraged me to complete the program, and it's an honor to see you here today, man, still walking in the faith and doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. So from my understanding, majority of you know about Loving Hands Ministries. By a show of hands, can you please raise your hand if you know about Loving Hands Ministries? Okay, and for you who haven't heard about Loving Hands Ministries, could you please participate by showing me your hands? Awesome, awesome. Now, we are here to tell testimonies, but we're also here to encourage those who don't know what we are about or what we're doing. Loving Hands Ministries started in 1984 when Pastor Wendell Wilson, who was a pastor up in Bradenton, he would go into the church, into the jails and the prisons to minister to men. And he would see these men get set free, you know, get saved, want to change their lives and don't want to do the things they were doing before. But he would see these men get released from jail and then come right back maybe a week, a month, a couple months later, and would be right back in the same position in front of him again. And God gave him a burden. God said, you know what, I want to plant this seed in your heart to minister to these men. Because these men need more than just you coming to speak to them and teach them about the Word of God. They need someone to follow up with them, to disciple them. You know, so he invited a guy from jail into his house, fresh out of prison, just got out, and asked the man to come over for dinner. And he spoke with his wife. She made him dinner. And he asked her again, do you mind if I let this man stay the night over? And they had some teenage daughters in the house at the time, and Pastor Wendell asked his wife, and she was kind of hesitant at first because of her daughter's sake, and you got this felon coming into her house that she doesn't know and asking to stay the night. Well, she actually decided to allow the man to stay the night, and that's how Loving Hands Ministry started. And by a show of hands, how many of you would like to allow, you know, a man fresh out of jail to come stay at your house? You know, but that's the heart that Pastor Wendell had. He had a heart for the lost, for the needy, because these men were going back into the same neighborhoods, into the same people, the same environments, the same broken homes, and they would not be able to find a way out. A lot of us in here would say we're born again Christians and all this, but we have nobody to help us with our lives on the way out. Jesus lived with his disciples. He walked life with them. He showed them the right way. And that's what Pastor Wendell has decided to do by allowing Loving Hands Ministries to be a place where men can come and be discipled so that they can learn to live the right way, to live for the Lord through the Word of God. I'm here to tell testimonies, and I believe firmly that Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death of them. So I would like to start by allowing my brother Patrick to tell his testimony.
How you guys doing this morning? Well, I'm Patrick. I'm from Northport, Florida. I'm 28 years old, and I've been in the ministry going on 20 months now. Didn't think I'd make it that long, but wow, it's been a while. It's been a while. But when I came into the ministry, I was lost, broken. I was pretty much on my deathbed. You know, I was lost in addiction. I grew up in church until about the age of 12, and then I started falling away. I started getting involved with the wrong people, hanging out with the wrong crowds, and doing the wrong things. By the age of 17, I was introduced to prescription pain pills for the first time. And this was just after I had my knees dislocated. And I was on prescription pain pills for about 3 months. The doctor said they were going to take me off of them. And at that point, I was already hooked. I moved on to harder and stronger things. Started with cocaine, then moved to crack cocaine, and then, unfortunately, methamphetamines. I spent over 15 years of my life in my addiction. But during my addiction, God blessed me with two children. I got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old that I was there as a provider, but I wasn't there as a father to my kids before I came to the ministry. But since I've come into the ministry, God has just, he's done a miraculous work in my life. Before I came into the ministry, I was to the point to where I was on my 5th attempt of committing suicide. And I got Baker acted and went to detox. After about 28 days, I found myself in Loving Hands Ministries. I went home in between the two and found out my parents got an eviction notice on me. So I literally had nowhere to go. I was lost, living on the streets. I had actually living on Venice Beach for a while. But since I came here, God's just restored my life. He's restored my family. My family comes and picks me up, takes me home on visits. My kids don't want me to get off the phone without praying for them. God's just done miraculous work. I've done parenting classes since I've been in the ministry. Right now I'm working on reobtaining my driver's license after not having a driver's license for 4 years. God's just, he's on the move. I can't wait to see what he has to do in the next 4 months that I'm here. But I want to leave you guys with a scripture verse. It's Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, "Behold, or do not think on the former things or consider anything of the old. But behold, I'm doing a new thing, and it shall spring forth, and you shall not even know it. I will make a way in the wilderness, the deserts, and in the streams." I just thank you guys for letting me share.
Amen, amen. Patrick is now our work project overseer. The men don't, you know, just work a job or anything like that until later on in the program, but they are required to work every day, Monday through Saturday, on the property, doing, you know, chores. We're on 10 acres down in Palmetto, and there's a lot of land. There's a lot of grass, especially like now, you know, the grass is growing like crazy. But, you know, they cut the grass, they trim trees, they fix vehicles and maintain the property, make sure all the property is looking the way it is. It's beautiful land, and it's because these men work very hard every single day, 2.5 to 3 hours a day. And he's our overseer. He's leading the men and teaching them how to do things and helping to grow in leadership in that position. And I really thank you today. He has two of the most beautiful children, and it's such a delight to see him and his family come and support him. You know, see his children run up to him and say, "Daddy, I love you and I love Jesus." You know, and that's a blessing. That is such a blessing, and he's making a difference in his life. Yes, yes. The next person I would like to speak would be my brother Kenneth.
Good morning. My name is Kenneth. I'm 27 years old, and I've been in the ministry for 14 months now. You know, growing up, I was raised by my mother. My mother was really my best friend. Because of that, my mom worked a lot to provide for us a place to stay. You know, a lot of times it didn't work out, and we would come home, and everything we owned would be on the front porch, and we'd have to figure it out from there. So my mom really worked a lot, and she worked hard. I had a lack of accountability because of that. I was 14 years old when I started getting high, and that continued on for almost 10 years of my life. I was 16 years old the first time I became homeless because my mother, she became ill with a kidney disease, and she had to go live in a nursing home, and I had nowhere to go because I was so deep in my addiction by that time that anybody who tried to help me, I lied to them, I stole from them, I used drugs in their house. I was nobody that anybody wanted around. You know, when I turned 18, I started getting arrested, and I'm going to jail now, and I'm in and out of jail. And every time I would get arrested, I'd call my mom, and she would say the same thing. You know, "Kenneth, we're going to get through this. I love you. One day at a time." You know, but I got arrested at the age of 24, and it was different. My mom said, "Kenneth, I've been sick for a long time. I'm not going to live forever." She said, "I need you to grow up and be an adult. I need you to be a man. I need you to be the person that I raised you to be." You know, that really broke my heart. Everybody knows that anger's hurts less than disappointment does. And my mom was so disappointed. I get off the phone with my mom, and I'm crying. Nobody wants to cry in jail. I go back to my bunk, and I say, "Lord, I need a better way to live. The best I can do on my own is a 10-year drug addiction, homelessness, and a prison sentence." So right there is where I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. And even then, I thought, you know, I'm going to go in the courtroom and tell the judge, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Let me out of jail." But it didn't work like that. I went from that county jail, I went on to prison, and it's time for me to get out of prison, and I have nowhere to go. I'm from a small town in Polk County, Fort Meade, Florida. My grandmother said, "You can stay on my couch for 1 month, but that's it. You have to be out after that." And I said, "Lord, this isn't going to work. That's not going to work." I knew the key to my success was getting away from the place that I was from. So I'm praying earnestly every day, "Lord, I need somewhere to go." And I get a letter from a gentleman who was my youth pastor in 2010. I hadn't seen her talk to him in a couple years, and the last time I did talk to him, I borrowed money from him to get high with. He said, "Kenneth, I've been praying for you every day." He said, I haven't stopped praying, and he said, "I think you need to come to Loving Hands." He said, "My brother came through the program and graduated, and it completely changed his life." He said, "If you'll agree to it, I'll get you in contact with the program director, and we'll pick you up from prison." So I start talking to Keith Stolte. He's the program director, and he said, "You know, it's a 2-year program. We'll pick you up right from prison." And I said, "Whoa, 2 years? You know, to me that seemed like a long time." He said, "But what's 2 years to the rest of your life?" I had spent my whole life doing the wrong thing, you know, and I decided to commit to Loving Hands to give 2 years a try. You know, I've been here for 14 months now. I got picked up from prison on June 1st of last year, and I've been here ever since. Since I've been here, I've been baptized in the ministry. Shortly after I got saved, my mother received the Lord. She's seen the change that was in my life and wanted the same thing. On December 27th of this past year, my mother went home to be with Jesus. So I know that I'll see my mom again, and I'm very excited for that. Most recently, I got promoted to the second year. Now I'm memorizing whole chapters of the Bible. Tuesday, I get to start my GED class, something that my addiction didn't allow me to do. But God really restores everything. And the scripture verse that I would like to leave you guys with is Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Thank you.
Brother Kenneth is a very intelligent individual. You know, he's very strong as well. It was a really hard thing, you know, seeing and hearing about his mother passing away. But everyone here had come alongside of him and supported him because we're a family, and that's what we do here. You know, we don't face these things alone. You know, we are our brother's keepers here. And by the grace of God, my man is standing mighty right now today, and he is doing the Lord's will today. You know, he just came back. He just had a visit with his family and stuff, and just hearing his sister, she's so proud of him and just so happy to see, you know, what her little brother has become now, a mighty man of God, you know. And I'm proud of you, brother. Just keep it up, man. Soldier in Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. I would like my brother Curtis to come up and share. He's going to tell us a little bit about a program.
All right. Like you said, my name is Curtis. I'm coming up on my graduation date. It was supposed to be on September 20th, but they moved it up a little bit to September 7th, so that was a blessing. But so just to talk a little bit about the day-to-day, we wake up at 6:15 in the morning, and they do calisthenics. No coffee, no nothing to get you ready for that. You just get out there, get ready to work out, and that only is about 40 minutes, and then I come in, get a small break, and get ready for breakfast. After breakfast, they do chores for about 15 minutes, and then after the chores, we have devotions for about an hour, and then after devotions, we have a small break, have a first class. We have three different teachers come in every day to teach, and so we're in the chapel quite a bit. It's where we stay almost all day. And we're smothered in the Word every day. These three teachers come in from all around Florida. Sometimes they come two hours away sometimes. And, you know, we're just blessed by them. And after we have the first two teachers, we have a book report class. So we do faith-based book reports. So we have to turn in those once every 10 days, as well as the scripture verses three every 10 days. And so after the book report class, we get ready for lunch. And after lunch, we do chores again. And then after the chores, we do intercessory prayer, which we pray for the outside needs of anyone. And there's a scripture a prayer list out back right here. If you have any needs for people stuck in addiction or anything like that, we'd love to pray for them. And after intercessory prayer, we get ready for work projects. And like you said, we have 10 acres and a lot of stuff to do. So after we do the work projects, this is the second time I had to do this, excuse me. it gets really easy to say the same testimony every time. But we have recreation after that, which is 45 minutes. So for on Saturday, we have almost 2 hours. After recreation, showers and free time. And that's, you know, we just decompress from the day, you know, have a little bit of calm our minds, you know. And then we have dinner. And after dinner, we have chores again. And then our last class of the night, it starts at 7 p.m. all the way to 8:30. After that, we get a schedule for the night. And normally it's around 9, house o'clock prayer, house prayer at 9 o'clock. And then normally lights out at 9:30. And that's the general day at Loving Hands Ministries. Monday through Friday. All right. Testimonies. All right. So, I've been in the ministry 23 months, closing in on 24. 20th of this month will make 24 months, be 2 years. I got actually a month added to my time because of lack of fulfilling in my curriculum earlier on in the ministry, but they're taking that bag a little bit, so praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, man. All right, now. And as my brother, let me go from the beginning first here. I was raised in church. I grew up in a Pentecostal home, and my whole life I was always told, you're lucky you got your parents, we don't believe in divorce, all these different things like that. And up until around middle school, everything was great. My dad started going through some depression, money issues started coming in the household, and just things started slowly falling apart. I was trying to play mediator, trying to get them to look at me and my sister. I have a younger sister. They weren't looking at us anymore. They were looking at what was in front of them. And it turned out they did get divorced, and it built up resentment in my heart toward them and what I've been told my whole life. And I just went out to find out for myself what I was being sheltered from, what was so bad whenever y'all telling me this, but it turns out like this. And anyway, it was just something I had to work on. And over time, I've just gradually found out quite a bit about the world pretty fast. I got to where I was on methamphetamine for over 7 years and got to where I was becoming schizophrenic. I was hearing a lot of different voices, confusing things happening, lack of sleep, just different things. But in that 7 years, the last probably almost a year and a half, in the end of that, my sister had gotten married and got a divorce, and she had a son named Noah, and they had to move in with me. I was paying rent and living at a house that my mom no longer lived at, but so she moved in with me, and it was a game changer for me having to have a child in the house. And I was always very careful about what I had. My room, it was always where I kept everything, but at the same time, things started getting pretty bad whenever my confusion was happening on and going on, and I was thinking that somebody was outside, and I'd go out there, my sister's boyfriend, about to try to fight him, thinking he's talking and stuff, and just very, very bad stuff was going on in my mind. And so it got to the point where I knew I had to stop for his sake. He was the only thing that I had that I really cared about. He needed me, and I just hadn't had that in so long. Since I was a kid, nobody really gave me any attention. I was skipping school, so much school, I didn't hear nothing about it, you know. And it was him that really wanted me to change. It wasn't even for myself, it was for him. And that process of me trying to stop it, I just finally saw that how hard it was. I couldn't stop on my own, even though I thought I could. And it got to the point where I told my mom, like, I can't do this anymore. I gotta stop. I can't do it on my own. What do I do? I was at her house detoxing, and I was hearing them telling me to smack my mom and do this stuff. And so I ended up taking a walk and trying to get away from her. And I ended up getting arrested for a trespass, ended up on her neighbor's back porch. And I was in Polk County at the time. I could have gotten shot. But praise God, that didn't happen. But and it took 2 months of me being in jail for the trespass. And it was God knew that's what I needed, a time to get away from my own self and not allow myself to do what I continually did. And I requested a Bible and started reading Job because I felt like I was losing everything. And so much more happened to Job than I remembered, and it blessed me so much to see how the courage and integrity he had to stay firm in the Lord. And, you know, that's that final decision point. I called my mom and was like, I don't know what I got to do, but I can't go to your house. I can't go. Just like Kenneth said, I can't go back there. I can't do this. I know what I will do. And she found this ministry, and the day after I got out of jail, my sister had another son. So now I have two reasons to be a better influence, a good person for them. And since I've been in the ministry, I've, like my brother said about the GED, I'm on my last test tomorrow. I got to do my last test tomorrow. I've also been baptized in the Manatee River, and I've done so many things. I'm learning the verses, chapters, and just being a blessing to them, trying to tell them what, you know, they can look out for to try to keep the devil from influencing them. you know, and he will flee if you resist him. And just so many truths are so alive in me now that weren't alive to me before. And I just thank you for letting me share. And my scripture verse is Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Thank you.
Oh, man. Curtis, man. He didn't do, you know, he didn't tell a lot of stuff that I was expecting him to speak on like what the Lord's doing in his life right now. But he is such a role model to his family now that, man, like seriously, like his mom is asking him for godly advice because she's feeling certain type of ways and she wants to know what does the word of God say about certain situations, and he's ministering to his family and stuff. You know, he's a great uncle to his nephews. And it's just awesome to see how a man that was struggling with trying to memorize scripture. I remember when he came, I prayed with his mother to come to the program when I was in the program in Dade City. And his mother, Cheryl, I seen him come and she's like, that's my son. I was like, this is the one we prayed for? Wow. You know, he was struggling with memorizing scripture verses and stuff like that and trying to work on the academics in the ministry. And to the point where God has really blessed him with a great memory. And he's quoting like 1 John, 2 John, and 1 Peter and 2 Peter fluently. And I'm like, how can you even say that many words without taking a breath? Like, I'm like, hold on. You're like, I can read so fast, but you're like outgoing me. And he's spot on. And I'm like, wow, look what God's doing. He had an issue with his leg, right? He had an issue with his leg when he first came in here. He had a rod in his leg, and he wasn't the most physical. He was very strong, but he couldn't like run and walk to class and make it to class in time and stuff like that. He was being late. Well, now I remember sitting in the chapel in the office and going over write-ups and stuff, and I'm seeing that they're complaining. Guys are complaining because Curtis is outrunning them around the lake, and I'm like, hold on, did this just say Curtis is running too fast around the lake? Well. I'm like, really? The one with the rod in his legs outrunning you guys, and you guys are complaining about it, you know? But that just shows, you know, how God's rehabilitating the men, like how God's really blessed him. You know, he's strong, you know, in his mind, in his spirit, and in his body. God's really developing him and encouraging him. And I love you, man. He's getting a lot of people coming to him and getting saved. When we go out and evangelize, he's speaking scripture over people, and they're like, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus. And I've witnessed this with my own two eyes. So I just want to testify in front of you guys that this guy, God is really up on him and moving in his life. And I honor you today, brother. I love you, man. You're great, man. Yes. The next person I would like to speak and tell the testimony would be my brother Daniel.
Hello, my name's Daniel. I'm from Manatee County. I grew up in a dysfunctional alcoholic family. And basically at the age of late teens, I turned into a functioning alcoholic, basically. Just started drinking and working. And I found a pretty good job at the age of 20, working at a block plant, block manufacturer, and moved to Orlando, transferred to Orlando. Did that for about 9 years. And near the end there, it started getting rocky and really depressing. I fell into deep depressions and started making mistakes at work and ended up getting fired from that job. And then I didn't see anything really that important in my life and started drinking excessively, not eating much. I lost like 80 pounds, became jaundiced, just stopped caring, waking up in the mornings asking God for who I knew he was, why he allowed me to wake up. And ended up after not long after that, I moved in with my sister, which was good because I was going to lose the house. You know, I wasn't paying the mortgage or anything, but, got my health back, you know, and kind of fell into the same routine again. Found another good job, prospered in it as I did the previous one in management and, you know, I'm mechanically inclined. I learned all the machines and how to repair them and work them. And that went on for another 6 years, you know, same thing. At the time, I didn't have a license due to a previous DWI and didn't have the ambition to get my license back, so I was riding a bicycle to and from work for 6 years. And Near the end of that job, I started meddling with cocaine and pills, and ended up making an error at work and getting drug tested and failed that test and lost that job. And I couldn't find another job within the area I was staying due to, transportation. So I ended up homeless, living in a tent out of the woods in Sanford, which is in just north of Orlando. And that went on for a while, quite a while, some months. And I woke up one morning broken, completely more than I've ever been, and walked down to the nearby lake and cried out to God, started praying to God about how, having him help me out of the situation I was in, and he was definitely listening. Not long after that, one of my friends from high school got it in his heart. He's, his side of the testimony is pretty amazing, that one day I popped into his heart, how's Dan been, all these years, and where's he been, what's he doing and stuff. And he got a hold of my sister on Facebook and found out I was homeless, in the area I was in. And he got a hold of another one of our schoolmates from back then, and they both took the time to drive from Manatee County to Sanford one evening after work, and they got into town around 11 p.m., and they were driving around, literally looking in the woods in the dark, not knowing where I was, really. They were close, they knew the area. And they were tired after a couple hours. They were heading out of town. They were going to stop at a convenience store to get an Arizona iced tea or whatever for the road. And at the time, me and my brother and some acquaintances were at the park drinking, and we'd run out, so my brother went to get more beer at the store. And there were several stores in the area, so it could have been any one that they'd gone to, but they bumped into one another in that one store, in a particular store, and I know that was God's intervention, making sure that they were led to me. And they came back to the park, and they had the 11 Hands handbook with them, or with a pamphlet anyway. And I just got a job 2 weeks before that, living homeless. I was still ambitious enough to get a job, and I just was going to make my first paycheck the next day. So it was a struggle for me to quit. I don't quit, jobs and stuff like that. So I was like, I can't. I just got this job. I'm getting paid tomorrow. In a few weeks, I'll be back on the path to righteousness, and really just the path to where I was anyway. And right then, the thought of that morning when I went to pray to God popped into my head. So I knew in that instant, I was like, he's telling me this is what he brought me. You know what I mean? That's what came to my heart. So that's when I said, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go with you guys. And I was accepted in the program a couple weeks later, and it's the greatest thing that could have happened. I always wanted to know Jesus. Ever since I was a little kid, my mom used to teach me what she knew. I always had this urge to want to learn about Jesus, but never did due to relationships in my life and alcoholism. And now I have a relationship with God, and Jesus, and it's wonderful. I didn't get my diploma due to things that happened in my life back then. Now I got my GED. I just recently received my GED. I've gotten my license back recently. Got everything straight with that. The ministry's blessed me with a vehicle. It's just been a huge blessing. I'm learning the scripture. It's such a dream, that I never thought would happen without Jesus. And I'd like to leave you the scripture verse, Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance with someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all these, put on love, for which binds them all together in perfect unity. Thank you.
Excuse me real quick. I'm just over here in tears right now. I love you guys, man. All of you guys. And it's just a blessing to me, because this is what I get to do, pour into the men's lives. And it touches me to see, the updated versions of their testimonies and see them speak out. And just, it's blessing me, man. My brother Daniel, he said he was homeless, sleeping in a tent in the bushes. got jaundice was 80 pounds, probably a little bit more than 80 pounds lighter, you know, and didn't have no education, you know, didn't have nothing really. And God is really like, took him from the streets like that, gave him a GED, and I seen him studying every night for this GED. I watched him study hard and diligently for this. And God blessed him with it. And I remember speaking to him and saying, you know what, man, you're changing your life. You are making decisions that are allowing you to affect and shift your life in a positive way. And it's through Jesus who is allowing you to do this. Give him the glory, because he, all these men here, you know, right now we can look good. You know, we can dress up. Don't they look amazing? Yeah. You know? But then on Monday, when it's discipline day, and we have to read out the disciplines, basically infractions on, you know, the rules. There's a rule book that's like this thick, and we have to follow all the rules. And when you don't follow the rules, you get disciplined. The root word for discipleship is what? Discipline. And this ministry is the hardest thing that I've ever done. And it's pretty much the hardest thing these men are ever doing. But guess what? We're here and we're doing it. And it just blesses me to see that. You know, and thank you guys so much for being a part of that. Because you're truly a part of these men's lives being set free. You are being used by God the Father to help and support these men. You are his hands and feet. Your prayers, please pray for us. You know, I know we got a prayer sheet back there that we're asking for your prayers. But the biggest thing that we can ask from you guys is your prayers for these men. And for the men of the other program. We have two campuses right now. We're working on a third one. We have a campus here in Palmetto. We have a campus in Dade City. And we're working on some property in Metter, Georgia right now. We actually have our first office open in Metter, Georgia. And we're trying to get some men up there so we can start having testimony services and changing men's lives in Georgia now. You know, our executive director, Joseph Van Barkum, is up there and he's working very hard. So please be in prayer for that. You know, we have a new chapel opened in Dade City that we're going to get ready to do the flooring in. And we're going to allow the men to have a new building to be able to worship God in. And a teaching and a learning. You know, it's just amazing to see what these men are doing. Patrick just taught his second class last night, which was amazing. The seven principles of building a godly life, a godly home, right? And I got to sit in on that. And that's one of the cool things about this program. We are not just, you know, a regular program. I'm a staff member here, actually choosing to take out of time out of my day to sit and listen to what this man has that God wants to, that God's delivering to him. Keith Stolte comes in and sits in our classes. Our program director. They come and sit with us and eat lunch or dinner with us. They also invite us out to their houses. Miss Kim, I want to honor her right now. She's Pastor Wendell's daughter. She took up the mantle. She's our president right now. She'd take us to her house on Thanksgiving and other dates and allow us to sit down both campuses. That's 20, 30 people in her house fellowshipping together because she loves us. She's the hardest working leader I've ever seen. She stays late nights at the property working to make sure that these men are taken care of. She's a part of this. We're a family. And it's nothing greater to see your leadership who is here with you, walking this walk with you, and growing with you. We have a donations table in the back with Christian hats and shirts and everything. Please check those out. You'll have my brother Daniel back there, and you'll have Curtis back there as well. We have a thing called Kingdom Builders, which is, if you would like, if the Spirit's moving in your heart to donate to the ministry of $1 a day or $30 or more a monthly reoccurring, please sign up. We would love to have you sign up. We thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. Pastor Gary, thank you for allowing us to come here and share today. I just like to say for the few men who didn't get to speak, can I get them to say their name, how long they've been here, and what God's doing real quick in their lives?
My name is Joe. I've been in the ministry for 6 months, and God's just moving and he's changing a whole bunch of my life, a whole lot. So I'm very grateful for what God's doing in my life. Okay. My scripture verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path."
My name is John Britt. I'm 27 years old. I'm from South Alabama. I've been here going on 4 months now. One thing the Lord's really done in my life, before I came here, I was a fast person, fast life. I've learned how to be patient and just slow everything down and take more time to react and think about my reaction before I act. And my verse I'm going to leave y'all with today is Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Thank y'all.
Hello, y'all. I am Benjamin Mahon. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I am the newest resident. I just want to tell you about something that happened to me Tuesday. I went to court, and I always see the judge as, like, the devil. You know what I mean? I mean, he always is like, you know, the guy who makes the sentence is like, "You're going to jail." But he looks at me this time, and he looks at me, and I'm fitted up. I got my suit on, and I got the nurse right next to me, and he says he gives me applaud and praise that, you know, I'm changing my life for the good and everything. So, First John 1:8-9. Of course, if we claim we do not have sin, we are not living in the truth. But if we claim confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and deliver us from all wickedness. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm 22 years old from Fort Myers, Florida. I've been here for getting ready to be, 6 months already, yeah. And something that God's doing in my life is he's getting me trained by Kenneth to be an ROD, and that's somewhat of the next step of being leadership to other guys, and that's something that I'm not trying to take pride in anymore. Usually that would have been something to boost my own self-esteem, but I'm trying to be humble through that. So I thank God for that. My scripture verse is Ecclesiastes 12:13. When all is heard, the matter of the conclusion is fear God and keep his commands.
Andrew just had a visit with his daughter, and I remember she was saying, like, "I want to go to church. I want to go to church, Daddy." She's 2 years old, and she's screaming she wanted to go to church, and she's mad because she can't go to church. And I'm like, wow, now, you got a good thing going there, brother, man. She's mad already. She can't go to church. You got something good. Take that girl to church. You know, we just thank you for allowing us to come out here and having the honor and the privilege to tell testimonies today. We love you. This church has been a blessing to us for a little while now, and we're very appreciative, and we want to honor you guys today. And I pray that you guys see the fruit of your labor. And for you guys who haven't heard about Loving Hands Ministries, if you know a man who is struggling with life-controlling issues like drug addiction or alcoholism, please get with us, because this ministry is free. We have not charged the men or their family a dime since 1984. And we're still running because God provides our every need. And he uses individuals like yourselves and other congregations to support this ministry. All right? Thank you very much.
Good job, man. All right, here, guys, have a seat for just a minute. So thank you, church, also for supporting this group. We support them every year, and we're so thankful for them. And so we're going to do, Pastor Gary wanted me to do communion, but they were having such a great testimony, man. I just didn't want to interrupt that. That was fantastic, wasn't it? It was encouraging. It's all the Lord. That's what Jesus does in people's lives. It's not about pastors, or it's about Jesus. And so, Pastor Gary, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to have a quicker time of communion. So if you wouldn't mind just starting to pass out the elements now. Now listen, if you have made that acceptance of what Christ has done for you, if you've been saved, you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would ask that you would participate in communion. If you haven't done that yet, you can just say no thank you. Because the communion is just remembering Christ's sacrifice on the cross, what he has done for us. And I'm going to grab one of these as well, if and you don't mind there, Dan.
I do not mind.
You're awesome. Okay. Thank you, brother. Don't spill. Okay. A couple things I'm going to go over with you just real quick. If I could sum up most people living right now as you're receiving that communion, as he's passing it out, in a word, okay, or maybe in a picture, okay, because you know I love pictures. This is the picture. Okay, can you hit that light, Joe, behind you? Because I just want it, just for a second. Thank you. Right? Do I even need to say anything? That's where we're all at. That's where most people are at. We're running on empty, right? We're running mighty low, right? But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, and I love this. Jesus says something beautiful. He says to come to me. Jesus says, not me, the Pastor Darren, or me, the Pastor Gary, or the Home Fellowship Church. Jesus says, come to him. He says, come to me. Right? Come to me, Jesus says. My heart, my word, my spirit. And he says, all who are weary. Like you've heard some testimonies in here. Does all include all? Absolutely. Right? Everybody. Doesn't matter what age, what color, what socioeconomic background. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. Listen, if you're running on empty, if you're struggling, Jesus wants you to plug into him, okay, and get charged up with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the renewing of the Word of God. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, he says. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. Be renewed by my word. And for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that awesome? You're going to have peace in the middle of the storm. Because your peace is found not in your circumstances, not in your finances, not in your friends, not even your family. Your peace is found in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen, amen, and amen. So listen, we're going to, as we do this communion and take this together quickly, I just want to take a minute, and if you'll notice your wafer, this unleavened bread, you'll notice a few things about it. You'll notice that it's got holes in it. It's pierced. It's to remind us that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, right? You notice that it's got little stripes in there where it's, right? See that in there? Because by his stripes we are healed. Amen. You'll notice that there's no leaven. And in the Bible, leaven is often a symbol of sin, and that's why there's nothing in it. That's why there's no leaven in this bread, because Jesus was a sinless, spotless lamb who not only died for our sins, but he lived a sinless life so that not only do we get that freedom from sin, but he gives us his life. So when God sees us, right, he imputes his righteousness, Jesus, to us, and he sees Jesus Christ in us. So not only did he pay all the price for our sins, and we've got a lot of them, but he gives us new life, and he gives us his life to walk in. Isn't that amazing? So as you take this bread, right, we're going to take it together, you think about and you remember and you thank him for all that he's done for you. Can you do that right now? Just close your eyes in your own heart and mind. Just thank him for being bruised, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, being spit on and bruised and whipped and pierced on a cross and nailed, hit for our sin and given us a new life. Just thank him in your heart and take this bread if you would. He also gave us his blood. This juice represents the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And it says, as one of the brothers was saying today, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every sin, past, present, and future. Isn't that amazing? That is our God. Oh, God, thank you. So just take a second, take a minute in your mind, close your eyes, just thank him, and then drink the cup and thank him as you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're so thankful that you're with us today. We're glad to see you. We're glad each one of you are here. God had you here for a reason, and there was something today that God wanted you to see, that God wanted you to hear, that God wanted you to experience and be a part of. And there's a reason for that. He's saying, come home. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's Jesus. Let's pray and close out. Father, we thank you for today. We pray your blessing on the Loving Hands ministry. We thank you for each and every person here at Home Fellowship Church today, Lord God. We pray that you would bless them with a heart that knows you personally, intimately, Lord God, that loves you, Lord, and that desires to follow you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord God. We ask that you would remind us during the week to be renewed daily with your word, Lord God, to stave off this evil world that so much is trying to tempt us, Lord God. We heard so many testimonies. The enemy doesn't come in a big red costume. He takes a little bit at a time. He's slippery, Lord God. Help us to be like Matthew 10:17 says, Lord, we want to be wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove, Lord, just like you instructed your disciples to be. Lord God, we ask for your blessing on each person here, that they would live a life to glorify your name, Jesus, and to bring honor to you, Father. And we thank you for each person here, and we pray your blessing on that ministry, on this church, this school, and these people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people together said, amen, amen and amen and amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name.